This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texans training camp is happening now. Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are live at Texans training camp, our final day live on site for Texans training camp. Training camp continues for the rest of this week, but today is the last practice out at the Methodist Training Center that we'll be at. Tomorrow is a night practice in advance of a day off on Friday, and then the first preseason game is Saturday. We, of course, will get you kicked off with that at 4 o'clock. With Texans pregame, and that'll be me and Seth on that. Welcome in, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, with you on a Wednesday. Good morning, my friend. How we doing?
Good morning. That practice tomorrow night. I was kind of hoping that was going to be at the stadium. Some teams will do that.
It is. Okay. It's in the stadium.
Yep. I must have misheard you just now because I thought that it was going to be at the stadium.
Yeah.
And it is. Okay. So that's cool. That'll be fun.
Yep.
It's like a good dress rehearsal. As a player, it's nice to get into a different environment too.
What I was told yesterday by people from the team is that the whole day is going to be simulating sort of a game day for the players. Is that
a little dress rehearsal?
Yeah, like what time to show up and what the procedures are and the processes are to get ready for what's going to be a 7 o'clock game ultimately on Saturday. Is that helpful as a young player that you start to just kind of know what the routine looks like for a game?
A little bit. I mean, there's something.
O'Brien liked to make a big deal out of that. We like to get him in here so they know exactly what we do on the day of a game.
Well, it is. I mean, simulation is what it's all about. That's what practice is, ideally, is you're simulating things and then simulating the game day situations to where you don't have guys. Remember last year, David Culley had forgot his challenge flag before his first regular season game.
Yes.
So, and honestly,
for everybody.
I think other coaches have probably done that. Sure. Culley was just so kind of like innocent and naive that he just got, you know, had no problem admitting that kind of stuff. So, there's something to be said for a dress rehearsal or just simulation or all of that. No matter what college you went to, it's just different in the NFL. So, like, even if you played at Alabama or LSU or were in big time situations, it's just different. And you're going up against men. So, like, a lot of training camp now, especially. I was looking at Harris's recap yesterday. So, we're 2 weeks into camp or, you know, finishing up the second week of camp and they're on practice number 10.
Yes.
Like, that's nothing. Like, you're used to, I'm not being old school back in the day guy, but you used to have 10 practices after 5 days.
That's right.
And it's really hard to even figure out which one of these young guys are any good. So all of that stuff, the most stuff that you can do without actually practicing, because you're not allowed to practice that much, is all for the greater good.
I will say this about the game on Saturday, and I'm not here to try to sell the first preseason game like it's, you know, a playoff game or something like that. But for a team like the Texans that has added a lot more youth to their roster than they've had the last few years, certainly than they had last year when they only drafted 5 guys and none of them were in the first or second round, Saturday's game does carry probably a little more intrigue for a team like the Texans. For example, the depth chart came out yesterday, Seth, and both defensive backs that they drafted in the first and second round are both listed as starters for the game on Saturday. Now, I don't know what Stingley's situation is going to be with the game. They've been slightly load managing him at practice. He's been mostly full go, but not totally full go. I don't know if they're going to view a preseason game as an opportunity for him to get his feet wet, or if they're going to view it as the potential for him aggravating something. They want him to be, they've been very clear about wanting him to be ready for week one. But I say all that to say that there's a lot of guys that have flashed at times here in camp, younger guys, the second-year guys who were, I mean, rookie as rookie gets last year, who are now going to be prominent parts of what this team is going to do this year. So for me, Saturday, there is a lot of intrigue with this game, watching these guys finally get in some game situations against jerseys other than Texans jerseys.
And I think if this defense is going to be a credible defense, it's not going to be likely a top five or a top 10 defense or anything this year. I think what you hope for is that you can build on last year's ability to create turnovers. So that's where Jalen Petrie or Derek Stingley you'd like to see show up in the preseason is just getting a few picks.
Yep.
I mean, we're out here at camp and Stingley didn't play a lot the first week. They've used them a lot more in the second week. And frankly, a lot of times they're playing zone, so it's hard to tell for this guy that's supposed to be so electric in man coverage. Okay, I see him take a couple steps backwards and then jump on an underneath route, or you know, trying to analyze him and see some of his athletic brilliance is kind of tough that way. So we really haven't seen a lot of necessarily good or bad out of him. It's just a matter of just wanting to see more. The other, I was reading more about Liz Frank yesterday. Not the lady, but the injury.
I was going to say.
So Derek Stingley had his Liz Frank
yeah.
back in September of last year, which seems like a long, long time ago. But I didn't realize that the average time of recovery is 11 and a half months.
I didn't either until you just said it.
Well, that's what this one article said, because people sometimes speak of the Liz Frank dismissively, which doesn't jibe with what we as sports fans have seen, which, like, whether it's Matt Schaub or anybody else.
Say we as Texan fans.
Yeah, it seems like, man, there sure are a lot of guys who have lingering issues after Liz Frank. So I think that being as careful with Derek Stingley as possible is exactly what you should be doing right now. And I don't sense a whole lot of clamoring from the fan base for anything to be rushed at this point. I think people largely kind of know the deal. This is a reset year.
Yes. I think the fans, by and large, have a pretty pragmatic view of things. I'm looking at this depth chart right now, too. And for those who don't know, the Texans Media Relations Department put out the first depth chart of the preseason here. It looks like the Lovie Smith regime is going to involve a lot less bleepery of rookies on the depth chart. I feel like, you know, before, in prior regimes, the rookies, regardless of how well they played in training camp, were buried in the fourth column of the depth chart. This is actually a pretty accurate look at what camp has looked like so far.
Yeah,
like,
what we'll probably see on the field.
Yeah, Stingley and Petrie have been running with the ones. They're with the ones on here. You know, Kenyon Green, he's been getting flip-flop between the ones and the twos at times, more twos than ones, although he hasn't been out here a lot lately. He's with the twos. You know, Damian Pierce is in a committee right now, that kind of thing. There's not an Amenihu level juicy storyline with the depth chart.
Yeah, and Amenihu wasn't a rookie, but Amenihu was being messed with, I guess.
Yeah, I can't find anybody being mind bleeped on this depth chart.
Like Amenihu was like on the fourth string in the initial depth chart. He was like at the very bottom of the barrel last year.
Yeah.
You know, like there are various things going on between Zach Cunningham and the team last year that were kind of weird, and there's just not that drama. And that's where, like, it's important to point out that was not Bill O'Brien last year. That was David Culley.
Right.
Which leads you to wonder, okay, was it David Culley? Was it Nick Caserio?
Yeah.
Jack Easterby, who, by the way, is he's got a different presence on the field this year. He's not as much in the mix of things, Jack Easterby.
Yeah,
he's very much off to the side.
Yep.
Take from that whatever you will, but at least that part of the visible part of
it. He looks okay with it for what it's worth. Like, you know,
he's going to do everything he can to the greatest degree of his ability, Sean. That's the
to what he's being asked to do.
Whatever he's being asked.
Whatever he's being asked.
Servant leadership, Sean.
Servant leadership. Yeah. One year he got asked to be a GM.
Yeah. Go swab that deck.
Yeah.
Go lead that way. That's what I would say.
That's right. Go lead this mop. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. The Astros, Seth, are tied for first place in the American League as we wake up this morning. That was a nice win last night over the hated Rangers.
The hated, the nuisance Rangers.
Yeah.
So, Aledmys Diaz and Jose Altuve are the offensive heroes. Jose Altuve was also the defensive goat in a bad way. So, which seems like a an increasing occurrence.
I'm older. What do you want?
I know.
I'm an old man. What do you want?
Yeah. I want to have a 5'5" DH. That's what I want.
If he hits 30 bombs, I'll take him.
Who's the shortest, best DH in baseball history?
That's a good question. I'll trust the Google machine on that one. It might wind up being Jose Altuve before it's all said and done. But for those just waking up, the Astros fell behind 4-0 early last night. Jose Urquidy was not his usual sharp self. He gave up 3 home runs. Fell behind 4-0, and Aledmys Diaz grand slam in the 4th or 5th inning, whatever it was, tied the game at 4. Urquidy gives up a home run the very next inning to Garcia, and then the Astros answered right back. I think that was the encouraging thing about last night, Seth, is that while Urquidy wasn't good, the Astros did what they do for Jose Urquidy, which is score a bunch of runs.
Yeah.
He gets the most run support of any pitcher in the American League.
This is as the Astros are the leaders in the AL now, which, I mean, you can make an argument that actually maybe being the second seed would be better from a seeding standpoint for the opponents you're going to face. I like that.
You're already looking at the bracket.
So Spillane pointed that out, actually.
I'll point out there's 50 games left.
So there's 51 games left, right? So this half-game lead we have in the AL isn't going to –
They're tied. Yeah, the Yankees lost last night. Late, at 2 in the morning they lost in 13 innings.
So both
teams are 70-41 right now.
So I think that what I care about more than anything is just having home field advantage over the Yankees. Not because I feel like the Astros need it to win, but because I will start giving out telephoto lenses to people who have season tickets in the outfield.
Yes.
Just to mess with the Yankees
fans.
That. Yeah. I think that I want everybody in the outfield to have a telephoto lens and Apple Watches. Like, just to mess with their heads.
They don't even need to be real ones.
No, exactly. No, yeah, they'll be mock ones. Yeah.
Yeah, just plastic.
So they did in D-Day back in the day. They had a bunch of, like, inflatable battleships. That's true.
It's the same exact thing as what you're espousing here. Yeah. All right. We're off and running. Roger Goodell met with the media yesterday in Minneapolis. They were approving the sale of the Broncos, but as you can imagine, Roger Goodell was cornered and asked about Deshaun Watson. What are we to take from Roger Goodell's comments about what the league is looking for in the Deshaun Watson situation? Live from Texans training camp.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Texas.
Texans Training Camp. Live from the Houston Methodist Training Center, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, John McClain will be out here live with us at Texans Training Camp at 7 o'clock. We got so much to get into today, man.
So much to get into.
The cup overfloweth, Seth.
So, hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Lamont asked a question during the break about the Lewis Frank injury, which Derek Stingley had suffered back in September of last year. Because I had brought up Matt Schaub, and Lamont said, didn't Schaub win like 12 games the next year? Yes, he did, but if you remember, that year was a lot of the offensive performance that year, until everything fell apart at the end, was delivered by the defense. You know, turning the ball over at a spectacular rate, creating a lot of advantageous positions. Schaub wasn't quite the same, but yeah, it's not like Schaub got his Liz Frank and he was never good again. But it was over the course of the next 18 months that he didn't seem like he could drive the ball to the sideline anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he became a backup, you know, after a year and a half. So
but then for like another decade,
he was
in the league forever.
And good on him, absolutely.
But I don't want Derek Stingley being like, hey, wow, he made it as a backup.
People forget
he was a backup for 10 years.
Right. No, yeah, we don't need that. That to happen to Derek Stingley. We're awaiting a decision on the Deshaun Watson suspension. 6 games is what it is right now. The league has appealed. Roger Goodell was in Minneapolis yesterday where they were approving the sale of the Broncos to Rob Walton, the heir of the Walmart fortune. Roger Goodell met with the media after the meetings and was asked about the Deshaun Watson situation. Why did you appeal? What are you expecting? Here was the exchange with Roger Goodell and the assembled media.
Well, as you know, it's part of the CBA. The two parties had that right. Either party could certainly challenge and appeal that. And that was something that we thought was our right to do, as well as the NFLPS, and we decided it was the right thing to do.
Why go back to seeking the full year suspension?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
That's a bad soundbite for Deshaun Watson, in my opinion. He brought up egregious, he brought up predatory, he brought up multiple offenses, and to me that was confirmation, too. We've only heard that the league wants a one-year suspension through back channels and reports. Nobody from the league has come out and said it. Goodell didn't come out there and say it, but the question was, why are you seeking a year? And he didn't say, well, we're not necessarily seeking a year. We just want the suspension augmented.
Yeah, I guess I think I differ from you in that maybe I'm naive, but I do feel like Peter C. Harvey, who was appointed as arbitrator by Roger Goodell, is going to call it the way he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Goodell feels about it doesn't, it matters in that he selected Peter C. Harvey, obviously. But, you know, there have been other situations before where the arbitrator hasn't done exactly what people thought Roger Goodell probably wanted, including going back in the day, Tagliabue over 10 years ago. Peter C. Harvey was the guy who acted in Ezekiel Elliott's case and levied that suspension. So I don't know. I don't know if you can. It's like, Sean, this whole thing, like anything legal, whenever one side speaks, and in this case, Roger Goodell is really, you know, representing the NFL. So he's like an attorney. When an attorney speaks about his client, yeah, it always feels like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, the opponent's really in trouble.
Yes.
Remember Busby?
And I'm easily swayed by that.
Busby would speak and be like, oh, wow.
Yes.
He's screwed now. But then Rusty Harden would speak and say, oh.
He makes a pretty good case as well.
Yeah, the coffin has been nailed shut on Busby.
Seth, I have my take comes with my acknowledgement that, and you know I've said this, I would be a horrible juror. Because I'm swayed, I'm always swayed. Whoever gets the last word in, that is who I'm swayed by.
This is where we, the little sheep, Sean,
easily sold to.
Sean, we, the little sheep, have we've already been subdued, and it's because of this. This is why, because the larger issue of will Deshaun Watson ever play again, or will it be a 2-year suspension, or anything? It's barely being talked about. Now it's people quibbling over whether it's going to be 6 games or 17 games.
Right.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
It's like there's a tornado going overhead. We're in the basement and we're arguing about who's going to get the canned peaches.
Yeah.
Instead of the greater destruction above us.
Right.
So likewise, I think that the NFL in general has kind of already successfully handled this about as well as they can hope to, because I think that people are quibbling about relatively minor details. Well, for the most part, life will go on after this.
Yeah.
And, you know, will things change in the way they handle cases like this? I don't know. But it's Deshaun Watson's going to – I'll be extremely surprised right now if Deshaun Watson isn't playing in 2023. That's for sure.
Oh, for yeah. sure.
I mean,
yeah.
this isn't going to be MLB with a two-year
with
suspension.
With Trevor Bauer. Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. The other big news out of the NFL yesterday – there's been a lot of news, but the one that jumped out at me – because it happened while we were here at training camp, and it got a lot of people here talking. Like, hey, should Nick make the phone call for this guy? But Roquan Smith requested a trade. Credit Roquan Smith. He didn't request a trade by finding some obscure rap lyric and then tweeting it. He put together a very long note on his iPhone and then posted it, in which he talked about his upbringing and his background, and he loves being a Bear, and his hope was to bring a Super Bowl. But unfortunately, Seth and Roquan Smith, the second-team All-Pro inside linebacker for the Bears, who's entering his fifth-year option, very good football player, says, unfortunately, the new front office regime doesn't value me here. They've refused to negotiate in good faith. He's looking for an extension, obviously. Every step of this journey has been, quote, take it or leave it. He goes on for another three paragraphs that I won't waste time reading, but he was very clear in here that not only does he want a new contract, but the new front office, Ryan Poles is the first-year GM there.
Yeah.
He's off of the Kansas City tree.
Ooh.
It's a little, I mean, in some ways, different reasons, obviously, and Deshaun's issues weren't, at least outwardly, weren't about money. Ultimately, he got a lot of money. Deshaun's issues when he requested a trade seemed to be more about the way the organization was being run. This is all about money with Roquan Smith. But similar to Nick Caserio, Ryan Poles is being handed a pretty big to-do here right out of the chute
yeah.
as a GM.
And I guess as this relates to the Texans, then immediately people say, oh, wow, Roquan Smith, really good young linebacker.
Sure would fit well.
He'll still be young when the Texans hopefully end up being good again.
Yeah.
To which I say, my favorite way to get a Roquan Smith right now is to use that draft pick that you might trade
you
for
trade
him.
You trade for Roquan
yeah.
Smith.
And there's already a guy at Will linebacker, Garrett Wallow, who you did trade draft picks to get when he was a rookie, yeah. and who I feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're just not I've tried hard, Sean. I've thought, okay, all right, but, you know, got to try to stoke the listeners and whatnot. I can't do it. Like, we're just not at that point right now where – in the stage of the life cycle of this team where you should be trading for guys like Roquan Smith.
For the right to pay him.
Right, right. Yeah, and you're saying and give him a new contract.
Yeah.
Draft picks and a new contract.
Yep.
When ideally you should be using these high draft picks that you have, this huge chunk of draft picks you have to get guys like Roquan Smith. And I also like Garrett Wallow. I want to see what – if you bring in Roquan Smith, then, yeah, that's going to hamper the development of Garrett Wallow.
Garrett Wallow, Christian Harris. I mean, yeah. they've got some guys. And by the way, right now on the depth chart, first string – like Kevin Pierre-Lewis is one of the starting linebackers. Like there's a path for these young guys to get on the field at
right,
linebacker,
right.
you know.
So and that's kind of the plan too. The strategy
yeah.
right now, the strategy
totally.
Is Caserio wants to have veteran guys like Kevin Pierre-Lewis tutor these younger guys
yeah.
and help them, you know, learn how to play in the NFL, and then there you go. By bringing in a Roquan Smith, you're kind of abandoning your long-term strategy right
you're,
now.
You're starting to turn into what O'Brien was in 2019. That's a win-now move.
Yeah, that's a desperation
yeah.
all-or-nothing move.
Yeah,
it
no,
either works or I'm going to screw this franchise over.
Right, he'd be a delightful player to have, but at what cost? I agree with that. Hey, join Clint Sterner in the show at Big City Wings in Cinco Ranch for a Miller Lite Football Friday. It's this Friday, 2 to 6. You come hang, have some wings, some cold drinks, get ready for the preseason opener with us on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Up next, the sights and sounds from training camp yesterday. The assistant coaches met with the media, talked about some of the young players, and Seth was spotted talking to Roy Lopez. What was being discussed between Seth Payne and Roy Lopez? That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. We're live at Texans Training Camp.
Sean, you said something very profound during the break.
I did?
Yeah. Normally when I derail you at the very beginning of a segment, it's for selfish purposes, but I want to compliment you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I was talking about how there's a lot of times, like, man, there's so much good content out there, and sometimes when I hear something really good from somebody else's podcast or something, I want to play it. But there is also now, like, everybody is our competition all the time now.
Yes.
In the modern world. Like,
yep.
Everybody, all the time, because of because we podcast, so our podcasts are in competition.
Content, content, content.
So, and I'm like, yeah, but how do you weigh that? Because you still want to bring good things to your listeners. And you said, really, the real competition is that there are only 24 hours in a day.
It's true.
Yeah. There's just, so there's only so much time people can listen to various things. So I think that ultimately, you just... We got to hope that we're giving our listeners really good stuff.
Yes, in the what I'll call the disposable hours that they can just go kind of consume things like
this.
You know, and I don't know, it's different for everybody, but I feel like everybody's got like maybe a couple hours a day where they can squeeze stuff like this in.
So
we got to stay at the top of the heap.
You're also recommending that we wage war against Father Time. The most successful method I've seen throughout history is amphetamines for that.
Yeah.
So, I'm joking, kids. God, my God, stay off the speed.
Right.
No, for the love of
it. It was only moderately successful.
It wasn't totally successful.
It's
successful for like through the early years of the Blitzkrieg.
Right.
And then everything falls apart. It will fall apart.
Stay
the hell away from speed, kids.
When the next election cycle rolls around, I'm backing the candidate that says they're going to add 12 hours to every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I fully believe them. All right, so here is Jacques Cesaire, the defensive line coach for the Texans, on second-year defensive lineman number 91, Roy Lopez.
Roy's just been solid. He's kind of like that rock inside the middle of the defense, and you know, quiet one of those quiet leaders that just does everything right and works extremely hard, and he just it's one of those people that you can go to bed at night knowing that I'm extremely safe with that one take.
All right, so he has nice things to say about Roy Lopez. You were spotted yesterday. I saw a photo
People
taken.
People were watching me?
Yeah, I saw a photo. It looked like almost a TMZ-type photo of you chit-chatting with Roy Lopez.
Yeah, I saw Roy. And, you know, honestly, I didn't talk to him at all last year, I realized. It was kind of a weird year. And so I introduced myself to him. And he said, yeah, you're the original number 91, right?
You knew that?
Yeah. So I was flattered.
Yeah,
I was flattered. But I'm glad you played that Cesaire audio, because that was one of the things I told him. I said, listen, Roy, people are going to say nice things about you. They're going to say things about, like, how unselfish you are. Or, hey, yeah, as a nose tackle, you're right where you need to be, and you soak up blocks and all those things. Don't believe it. Because what they'll do is pigeonhole you into some dude that doesn't make a lot of plays, but he's just always there and he's always around. I said, you are a Tasmanian devil demon. You get upfield and go and make plays and never let them tell you that, oh, for not being that fast or what have you. It's all BS.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Roy Lopez shows up today in shades with like a new piercing, he's load managed, he's not practicing today, I'm blaming you. You gassed him up. He's going to be Hollywood Roy
Lopez. Tell him to act like he's a star.
You never know how young guys are going to interpret what you're saying.
Well, because the other thing we talked about was just wrestling in general. Because this team has a freakish number of guys who are high school wrestlers on the offensive and defensive
line. Who's his favorite wrestler?
There are at least four. No, real wrestling, Sean. Authentic wrestling, not scripted wrestling. And he and Justin Britt were both wrestlers. So we talked about that. Like, as a center and a nose guard, like, those are the two positions where being a wrestler helps you the most, I think, because it's close quarters hand combat a lot of the time, so you can watch when those guys go at it with each other. It is almost like the pummeling is a drill that you do to get ready before practice and everything. Like, it's almost like they're doing that before when they're doing their one-on-one work.
I like Roy Lopez a lot.
I like him. I do think he's got it's weird, he's not tall. So, but he's also, you're right, but he's not like a Jerry Ball who is short but 350 pounds. You know, he's thick, but he's also not tall, and he's got a quickness about him that, like, in a weird way, he almost, I think, needs to be his best version of himself in this defense, especially, like a beefy John Randall. Like, John Randall was 5 foot. John Randall was like 5'11 and a half. He wasn't tall at all. Maybe he was 6 foot. But he was a Tasmanian devil. He was just like a whirling dervish all over the place. And I think Lopez has that in him. And it's just a matter of just getting more time and reps out there. And double-digit sacks in his future.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be phenomenal. Now, I only saw your conversation with Roy Lopez on social media, screen caps from people in the bushes taking pictures of what is being said here between these two.
But so I was sick of the paparazzi.
But I was witness to your brief interaction with Laramie Tunsil after practice yesterday.
So Tunsil walked by, and
we were standing by the gate over here.
Yeah,
next to arrogant Clint Stern.
I'm going
to
tell you honestly, every time I talk to a player after practice, I have so much empathy for them, and I see how hot and miserable they are that I keep it really brief. Yeah. Like, it's almost like when I was talking to Roy, I was like, I'm going to stop talking to him. He was he was either his sister or his girlfriend. I'm not sure. There's nothing worse than when you're with your sister and people think it's your girlfriend, you know, and obviously vice versa. If you're with your girlfriend and people think it's your sister, that's really bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but anyway. I wanted to leave him alone. Likewise with Laramie Tunsil, when we saw him, he was walking past us, and he looked miserable. but we talked about him during the show.
We did.
About him negotiating his own contract and managing to get one of the best contracts in the history of offensive line contracts. So I just said, hey Laramie, when you were negotiating your contract, did you get the assistance from the NFLPA attorneys? And he basically said, oh hell yeah, like they help a lot, which is something. I don't think a lot of people realize when guys negotiate their contracts, if they're going about it the right way, it's not like they're going in there blind and trying to negotiate against professional negotiators without any kind of legal assistance whatsoever. It's just that they're getting assistance from lawyers with the NFLPA that know what the hell they're talking about, who aren't going to request 3% of your contract when it's all done.
Right. Then you promptly asked him if you could be his attorney on the next contract.
No, somebody else did. Who were we talking to?
Well, Clint was with us.
Clint said that.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Landry.
Yeah.
If you're going to misrepresent people on the show.
Well, it was funny. I was attributing a funny line to you.
You ran in on Landry yesterday because he misrepresented
you. He was making things up. He said that I stop 4 hours into 8-hour road trips and, like, stay the night. And I'm like, I'm listening. I'm going, with no context, no cities named or anything like that, I'm like, I don't do that at all.
Yeah.
Like, I stop at places that are very I have specific reasons to stop at places.
Even if you do, I guess, so Landry's trying to shame safe driving. Landry's basically advocating Marshawn Lynch's behavior.
Just thinks it's stupid. Yeah, Marshawn.
So Landry, what you're saying is Landry's like, what did Marshawn Lynch do wrong? He's just trying to make it home. Instead of being out all night, he's trying to make it home. Marshawn Lynch arrested for DUI yesterday in a vehicle that was missing a wheel.
Okay.
Missing an entire wheel.
Stop right there. You texted me this morning. You're like, Marshawn Lynch's car was missing a wheel.
Yeah. Why are we laughing about this? We're no better than Landry.
Nobody got hurt.
We're no better than Landry on this.
Nobody got hurt. Yeah. Here's the thing. Marshawn Lynch has the easiest life in the world right now. He was actually, I mean, like, Marshawn Lynch got into a lot of trouble early on in his career. He goes to Seattle.
A DUI was one of the big issues in Buffalo.
That's right.
He found himself in Seattle.
That's right. But he kind of cleansed his image in Seattle. He became a really good player for a really good team. He opened up a little bit. I mean, he used to do no media. He became a media darling, and he starts doing endorsements for things like DoorDash and other. Like he's popping up on commercials as this lovable figure. He can do this for the next 30 years. The only thing that can derail it is if he starts driving around drunk in a car with three wheels.
Maybe it's inflation because Uber has gotten expensive, just like everything else.
Has it gotten more expensive?
Yeah.
I Ubered the other day from our house to the Armadillo Palace, and actually, that's like less than a mile, and it was like $8.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only Uber I've taken recently.
It's gotten expensive. Everything's gotten expensive. Everything's $50, Sean. Everything at Home Depot.
everything
at Home Depot is $200.
Yep.
Everything involving going out to eat. If you want to go, oh, God forbid you go get a burrito. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really?
It's just, I feel bad for that. And it's not the restaurant's fault, obviously. Because they're making less. They're in that spot where they're having to jack up prices because food prices are so high. But their margins are even smaller because they can't jack them up that fast.
That's right.
It's
tough.
So you ran in and basically defended yourself, saying you drove to Amarillo, which was 8 hours.
8.5 hours.
And then you ate a 72-ounce steak.
Most of it, yeah.
And then you wanted to go to bed, so you weren't And then you drove. I actually
wanted to watch the Astros that night.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about having to do your job.
Yeah.
No, it's a plus, man. I grew up. This is one of the coolest things about my dad. Like in his last 6 months, as he was passing away, I grew up with a father who believed that no road trip was to be broken up by any rest whatsoever. Like to the point where he'd be hallucinating by the end of the trip. You know, so you know, like, and over time, he realized that probably wasn't a good thing to pass on to his children. So he, as he got older, he was like always very certain if he asked where we were going somewhere to be sure we stopped and rested.
Yeah,
because he literally, well, he had a fatal accident once with somebody because of that.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't drunk or anything. It was all sleep deprivation that maybe could have happened. But so anyway, this last 6 months when I was visiting him, he was very careful to always be like, oh, it's 7 p.m. You've got a drive ahead of you. You got to go home right now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
He's very aware of it.
So sorry Landry wants to besmirch the the memories of my last few months with my dead, with my dead father. Sorry, Landry. Sorry, I respect dead father's advice.
As I was listening to that segment, I'm going, this is a direct shot at Seth's father right now.
Yep. He died like 2 weeks ago, Landry.
I know,
my God.
Man. Yeah, geez. comedy, part of comedy is time. You got to let a little time go by.
I did a video on Instagram that I don't know. I think my dad would have loved it.
Do you care to describe it?
If you go watch on my Instagram, watch the very mostly touching video of my father at Seth C. Payne on Instagram. And I, for the most part, I think a lot of people were probably offended by it. And yet, because my father had just died, they were like, okay, I'm going to hold back and not criticize Seth for this.
He's probably going. But the funny thing is, they would be doing that because they'd be saying he's probably going through a rough time.
Yes.
Where that video would indicate that you're handling things okay.
I mean, like a video.
It's a rough time, but you're handling
things. I was like, I actually thought about, I think I asked you and like 10 other people.
You did.
Whether I should even. And usually when I wonder whether I should put something out on social media, it ends up being the right idea.
Yeah.
Like, even if it pisses a bunch of people off.
Yeah.
So this was like, I was like, no, I think my dad really, really would have liked this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did, it was like a tribute video for like 45 seconds that talked about what your dad was all about.
Yeah.
Kind of a story of his life. And then you had his ashes and you were.
They can go see it on Instagram.
They can go see it. Yeah. Go see it. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so there's the tease.
I make a joke at the end.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Go see it. At Seth C. Payne, right? On Instagram? On the gram? Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you see Case Keenum going fishing for autographs yesterday?
I did.
At Bill's
I was actually.
Set this up.
Yeah. I like the way you try to make it sound organic, but in doing so, make it sound like I'm the unprepared one. I found this video, and I wondered, like, okay, is this will this translate? And I think it will in this audience because for our audience, because it's Case Keenum. This is Case Keenum disguising himself at Bills camp, where he's a backup quarterback, as an autograph seeker.
He's got a bucket hat and shades.
Yeah,
on.
So he's pulling a bucket hat down. He's got shades on. He's going up, and he's like aggressively asking his teammates for autographs.
Case Keenum here. I'm going to see today how many autographs I can get from my teammates. Let's go, Bills.
Hey, Isaiah, man, can I get your autograph, man? I've been a big fan of yours, man, ever since you was in college, man. Will you do it one more time for me, man? It's kind of hard to read.
Is this Case? I'm about to get you twice.
Hey, Case, can I get your autograph, man? Hey, man, you're my favorite player, man. Who's your favorite backup quarterback? Okay, I'll see you later, man. Good luck out there, man.
I'm about to get kicked out of
here. Him in the butt.
Okay, this 2019 one still works?
No, that doesn't.
What, it doesn't work?
What are you doing here?
I'm trying to get autographs, sir.
Okay, that's him trying to get through security.
Yeah, he had a 2019 credential. So he wasn't even like, he was almost getting kicked. The guy was pissed.
Yeah.
And he goes up Brandon Bean, the GM, at one point. Most of the guys recognized him pretty quickly.
Bean dined him out right away. Yeah.
Well, he's a, you know, it's like Case with like a lot of quarterbacks. They're bigger than you think. Because they look kind of, because Case looks kind of small.
He's like 6'1".
Yeah, but he looks small on it.
Totally.
Right. But he's like, but they're bigger than you think.
Yeah.
Like Schaub, look, you meet Schaub in person. He's a monster in person. So yeah, I think that was probably the clue up.
That was really funny. I liked his accent.
He did. What was that? It was
it's an accent that when you and I do it, people get mad at us.
Generic hick.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't understand is that there's not really, there is a generic hick accent that it's tweaked a little bit by whether you're in Texas or the Deep South or like the Pacific Northwest. But there's kind of a twang that's always, it's a, up, like Western New York where I grew up, like there's a very strong,
there's a lot of twangs around the country.
Yeah. And usually a lot of times it can be associated with the sound of a bar stool being kicked backwards. It's like, what'd you say to me?
Right.
And then you're like, oh boy, it's about to go down.
The sentence, you think you're better than me is usually uttered. That's usually the last thing uttered.
I ain't know something.
Yeah, right.
Say, I ain't know, and then whatever you know.
Derogatory noun.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hard Knocks started up yesterday, last night, and you sent me the reel. This was on Hard Knocks, right? This Aaron Glenn, Deuce Staley?
This is Aaron Glenn and Deuce Staley. So Deuce Staley, is he the offensive coordinator?
He's the running backs coach.
Aaron Glenn, former Houston Texan, lifetime Aggie, and now the defensive coordinator of the Lions. We're talking a lot of smack, but it was mostly Deuce Staley talking smack to Aaron
Deuce
Glenn.
Deuce Staley's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
look
at his face.
I've never, ever, ever seen anything ever like what you're about to hear.
Yeah.
This is Deuce Staley, the offense, the running backs coach, going after his buddy Aaron Glenn.
During drills.
During team drills.
Yeah.
Why are you circling me, though?
I'm sorry.
Huh? Why are you circling me?
That's what the vultures do. they just keep circling.
I truly love him.
Yes, love.
But I want to f*** him up between the lines. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Yeah, AG, it's starting right here, baby.
And, Deuce, you're absolutely right.
Ain't no doubt.
You want something, we're going to give you something.
Yeah, well, we're going to take it.
We want something, we're going to give you something.
Take it, give
what you want. Let's go, man, compete. I'll compete him. Now, talk.
Stop the screen.
Stop
the screen. Oh,
you
great, you stop the screen. Great, you stop the screen.
You want to talk about
I'm happy
five
for you. I'm happy for you.
You should be.
Yeah, you stop the screen. I ain't heard you
all. Hey,
now you woke up. You forgot to tell him we playing today. You forgot to tell him we playing today.
Man, y'all had one play, and now you want to talk.
He looks scared.
Yeah, like and like Deuce is like right up
nose to nose.
Yeah, not like standing on opposite sides of the field or anything.
No,
and Aaron Glenn was having fun with it, but it was I've never seen anything like that. There was some juice in those practices. Though they were hitting, they were like there was a level of physicality I haven't seen out of these practices.
No,
it was and like
that's a Dan Campbell practice.
Yeah, like there was like actual tackling and it didn't look like anybody was getting yelled at after the tackling.
Would you like that if you were a player?
In doses. Okay. What do you mean?
Just the hitting and a more physical practice.
I really liked. It all depends on like how long. If you're doing it for 3 hours, no. But if you're doing it like in really focused work, I used to love 9-on-7 when it would be
would
super
you
physical.
Like, if you were a player for this version of the Texans, would you be not? I don't know what the adjective is I'm looking for. Like uptight or a little disappointed if you hadn't done any hitting. They've done no hitting.
There's a little bit of just. I would be. I'd maybe be a little just apprehensive about, like, all right, what, like, am I really ready to go out and actually, like, play a football game?
That's the thing. Like, yeah. Part of me wants to know if I'm handicapping week one of the preseason. Like, okay, which teams have been hitting in practice and which teams haven't?
It's been,
the Saints have been hitting. I feel like the Texans are in for it.
There's been a lot of three-quarter speed work, and they're very careful not to go to the ground. Now, a lot of this goes back to, like, way back when Lovie Smith was working for Tony Dungy. That was Tony Dungy's philosophy. And it works. It's time proven. It's just different. Like, everybody's got a different mode or method of practice. And so I'm not like, as a fan, thinking like, oh boy, these guys aren't going to be tough or anything like that. Tampa and Chicago had some of the best defenses that have ever been.
Yeah.
Using this type of practice model.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain, brought to you by HornSolutions.net, is in the chair. He is out with us. We will get his observations thus far from training camp and his take on a whole lot more things going on around the NFL and around Houston. We'll get to talk some Astros as well, get to some headlines in the next hour. You are listening to Payne and Pendergast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.